When you have a big enough network that you can rely on and know that you can raise the money that you need for any deal, then the confidence is natural. And when it's not natural, I think people can also pick up on that as well.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. This is Javier Hinojo, the host of The Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing. And today I have Tin Vitale. He's out of Charlotte. I have him on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, his journey trying to find his first commercial property and coming from a background of his family owns commercial real estate. Is that correct, Tim?
Yeah, right? That's right.
And, you know, just him working, right? Working, trying to get his first deal. He's not new to real estate and, you know, just working on getting his first deal from, you know, networking, you know, any other way he's doing. We're going to talk about it, like the good, the bad. What kind of things are a little bit harder than he thought and which are actually a little bit easier. I know he's putting out, you know, LOIs, which that means a letter of intent, basically it's just offers, and you're going to get rejected a lot, right? So you're married, right, Tim?
I am. Yeah.
You're Tim's. Yeah. So, you know, he's not a single guy. So for you single folks out there, right? It's like when you're trying to court somebody, you might get shut down.
Do a little dance.
Yeah. You might have to, you get shut down a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just part of the game. So Tim, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? I know you were like on the, you know, fast track to, you know, in your job and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, originally from Connecticut and like Javier said, you know, grew up in a real estate family. My family owns some mixed use properties and a lot of smaller multifamily property up in Connecticut where everybody lives in a duplex or a quad, or in the mixed use properties they have, you know, have retail on the bottom floor and a couple apartments on top. You know, grew up in that environment. You know, my dad was doing the property management. So, you know, there were times when I was working on the properties with him, doing hardwood floorings and siding, and I've done roofs before and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So I was very familiar with it and comfortable with it. Currently, I work in a Fortune 500 insurance company based out of Manhattan. I work remotely in Charlotte. I used to live in Manhattan, and my boss told me I couldn't quit when I told her I was leaving Manhattan. So going on 8 years now with that, you know, I got promoted to assistant vice president at the age of, I was like roughly 29 or so at the time, maybe 28, 29, something like that. And I was one of the youngest people in my corporation to ever do that. So, you know, I had set a goal of becoming the CFO of my profit center of that corporation by the time I was 35. I'll be 31 in about 2 months and, you know, fully on track to accomplish that. But then when I got it down the real estate path, I, you know, just, it wasn't what I wanted anymore. So, you know, I got into real estate after listening to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, like most people do. And, you know, I took a few months to learn how to purchase property as an investor, not just work on them, like what I had known. I bought one single family house, it's actually a condo, and I absolutely hated it. I got burned on the appraisal. They used my own sale as the only comp. So they appraised my property as what I bought it for after I had renovated it. However, the income-based approach on that appraisal appraised for the number that it should have appraised in my knowledge. Because I work in finance, you know, I appreciate budgets and income statements and revenue and expenses. I mean, that's what I do on a day-to-day basis for, you know, a $150 million company doing insurance. And, you know, it just really makes sense to me how commercial properties are valued off the net operating income. So bought that condo in November 2019, and I cut the cord. And I right after that, you know, I struggled with the appraisal and getting my money out of it because I paid cash for the property. You know, that was early 2020. And then from there, I said, I'm not doing single family anymore. It's not what I want to do. I don't appreciate how properties are appraised. And they, you know, it was very subjective to me with quality of finishes. I said, that's subjective. And it is. It's 100% subjective. But when it comes to appraising commercial property, it's, you know, it's a hard and fast number. Like here, this, we're making $101,000 a year. Like this, you know, apply your cap rate. That's the value of this property. You know, it doesn't matter as much. I mean, there is some, you know, there's some truth in there as well. But you know, it doesn't matter the finishes as much as the net operating income, because the bank worries about how it operates as a business. And that really struck gold for me. And I made the conscious decision with intention to say, I am no longer doing single family houses. And I stopped comparing myself to the network of people that I had created that were doing single family flips. And you know, they were able to quit their jobs and they're probably making, you know, $100,000, $200,000 a year. And I was still grinding away at my day job, and I still am. But I said, you know, I'm going to take a step back for a massive leap forward. And I knew it was going to take a year or 2 years in order to accomplish that. And as of last week was my first opportunity to be part of a syndication team. And that's on an 80 unit property here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, you know, it took me a while to kind of grow my network and develop those relationships with people in order to get credibility, where somebody asked me, they called me and said, hey, you know, like, we have this, you know, we want you to be a part of it. Are you in? And I was, duh, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to pass up on that opportunity. You know, it was just a valuable lesson in making sure that you have clarity around the goals that you want to accomplish and acting with intention in order to get where you want to be.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. There's about like 8 different points I want to hit, right? But
I know it's a big story awesome. To unpack, and yeah. I, you know, I'm super passionate about it, and I love talking about it. Yeah, so, for sure. So,
yeah, one of the things, right? I know when we spoke a few months ago the first time, I know you have a finance degree, and you know, thank goodness for all those guys out there who has those finance degrees. That's awesome. Just because you guys like all the numbers and everything organized, that's awesome. That's definitely not me, and so that's definitely a kudos for that you enjoy that part. But one of the couple of things that stood out to me was you bought a single family, you went through that process. You're a lot smarter than me because, you know, I flipped and wholesaled, you know, over 100. So it took me a little while. I'm a little slow. And, you know, you just saw the writing in the wall, like, man, this sucks, you know, and you had the background with your family, you know, in commercial real estate. But, you know, you have a career, right? You have a job. So just tell me a little bit about that, right? How's the balance for, you know, any busy professional out there listening to this podcast? You know, how's the balance, right, between family and your career? You know, you want to do a good job at, you know, at your work and also trying to, you know, syndicate, buy some commercial property.
It's a hustle, man. It honestly, truly is. You know, I like to listen to a lot of podcasts as well myself. And, you know, Mark Evans is one that I absolutely latch onto. And, you know, he wakes up at 4:44 every morning. I wake up at 5:10 every morning. I get up, I do my stretches, drink water. I read. I read in the mornings because I work a job that is very mentally taxing. And after I've been working a very mentally taxing job all day, the last thing that I want to do is go read and try to learn about a new subject. So I still wake up at 5:10 in the morning and do my exercises, water, whatever. And then I read for an hour. And that's how I was able to put in the learning in order to understand the differences between single family and commercial. So that is usually from, you know, 5:10 until about 8:00 in the morning. I take the dog for a walk somewhere in there as well. And then I usually work my day job from about 8:30 until 6 or 7 o'clock at night, make dinner. And then I work on real estate stuff, you know, till 10, 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, all through the day, especially with COVID, you know, I'm able to do things like this where, you know, interacting with other real estate people, taking phone calls, calling off market deals, you know, kind of in between my day job. So they're kind of intermingled right now. So it's hard to say how many hours a day that I work on my real estate stuff, but it is very definitive on the amount of hours that I work on my day job because it's a time period that I need to be available from. So man, it's just, you know, it's how bad do you want it? You know, I mean, I wanted this so bad and I wanted to get out of my day job so bad. And I knew that my skill set and my personality was a better fit for real estate than being a number cruncher behind a screen all day, that, you know, I was willing to do whatever it took to get there. And, you know, just as of last week, you know, being given the opportunity to be a GP on one of these deals, you know, and it wasn't because, you know, somebody just, yes, they did just give me the deal, but it's because I put in all the work. I have the knowledge, I have the understanding, I have the network, I have, you know, not as much experience, but that's what I'm going to get for my first deal. And I don't even care how much money I'm going to make for this first deal, but the momentum that's going to start building now when I can say I closed on my first deal, you know, I was involved with asset management, I was involved with due diligence, you know, we're going through everything with this property. I reviewed the underwriting, so I feel confident raising money from investors on this deal. And, you know, it's really, it's a grind. And I saw a post today on LinkedIn about somebody posting about how real estate investors have grit, because it really comes down to how much grit do you have to get through the bad times? Because, you know, and most people know that the first deal is the hardest deal to do. And most people never get past the first deal. They never even get to the first deal and they give up because it's so hard. And that's one thing that I think is truly amazing about this is, you know, Jennings likes to say real estate is the equalizer of all dummies. And it's not really the most difficult thing in the world to do, but it is a very difficult thing because it's such a large mountain to climb. And you need to be able to build a network of good individuals that are willing to help you with nothing, you know, not expecting anything in return. And getting to that point is the most difficult part. Once you get there and you do your first deal and you have a good network, everything else just kind of falls into line. It's a very repeatable process once you've gone through it once and you get the experience. So, you know, to answer your original question, sorry, I got off tangent there, was, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, I don't watch TV. I barely play video games or anything like that. You know, we're working all the time, and that's okay because it doesn't feel like work when you love it. And I don't feel like I'm working all the time. I enjoy this stuff. I look forward to it. So, you know, you just have to know yourself and what your personality type is and where are you going to fit in to the machine of multifamily investing. Where do you fit in? Do you fit in as the analyzer? Do you fit in as the acquisitions guy? Do you fit in as hopefully the key sponsor, which is, in my opinion, where everybody wants to ultimately end up being, you know, in really focusing down on what you're good at and bringing value to other people that need your skill set in order to complete a transaction.
Yeah, that, I mean, you hit a lot of good points. One of the things was, hey, you have to have some grit. You gotta like it. You know, this can't be like another job for you. You know, you gotta definitely enjoy it. It's not easy, but it's not hard, right? It's kind of strange. You know, it's just, maybe it's just something new. You know, it's just something.
It's
new.
Hard, but it's not impossible.
There you go. Yeah, it's definitely not impossible. But once you get your first project under your belt, then you start building that momentum. Like, hey, I've closed 80 units. You know, right now it could be a challenge trying to talk to a broker or a seller to ask you, hey, you know, what is your portfolio, right? It might be a little bit of a challenge, but once you start closing some properties and some projects, it definitely changes. And like you said, it's key, right? You start getting that momentum. You know, and I'm super happy for you that you got, you know, your first project under contract, you know, as a GP, because that'll definitely give you, you know, additional credibility and just some momentum. The closer you get to not doing your first deal, the longer you get of not doing one, something like that, right? So
that's a good one. I like
yeah,
that.
The longer it takes you to get your first deal, the closer you get to never doing one. So you got to, you know, it took you maybe a little bit over a year, but hey, that's actually not that bad. You know, I know folks, you know, been at it for a long time and they're still out there looking for the first project. And, you know, what are they doing a little bit different? You know, I don't know. Maybe they're watching some TV. Maybe they're not putting all the time energy. You know, it just takes work, right? You got to go out there and you got to, like you said, you build that network. You made all those phone calls, those late calls in the evening, you know, just created that network. And then people are like, okay, yeah, Tim, you know, Tim out of Charlotte, right? I think he can help us out with this. And you became like top of mind, right? Eventually this, whoever reached out to you, like, hey, you know, they've seen you on Facebook, social media, or they just seen you in other, you know, maybe any events or webinars. And they're like, hey, I'm going to reach out to Tim. So is that pretty much how it happened? I'm just guessing.
100%. 100%. I mean, that's the best recap period is being out there and being relevant. Anybody who knows who I am, you know, the My First Million in Multifamily and the Billionaire, what's your Billionaire Real Estate? It's a longer name, so it's harder for me to remember.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's 80. I want to make an email, Javier@billiondollarmultifamilyandcommercialrealestate.com. If I can make that email, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Email me there.
I'm active in those groups. You know, I mean, people reach out to me and they're like, hey, you know, I see you're active in these groups and, you know, they want to reach out and they want to talk. I mean, yesterday, I went and met with an old friend of mine at a whiskey and cigar bar here in Charlotte. And on the drive up there, I had a conversation with another guy who's part of Jake and Gino's group. And he, you know, just recognized how top of mind I was and wanted to talk to me about, hey, like, what am I doing? What could he be doing differently? You know, and also like going out to the in-person networking events. You know, that's how I met the people that asked me to be a GP on this deal, Adam Balzinger and Charles Seaman. I have a relationship with them because I go to their meetups and I've talked with them and I interact with them. And that's really how it is. And I've had other people ask me like, hey, will you raise money for this deal? And Like, no, I don't even know who you are. Like, why would I put my own reputation on the line, which isn't much to begin with, but why am I going to start out on the wrong foot by raising money for somebody that I don't know, like, trust to begin with in the first place? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Right. I mean, you got to make sure that you kind of know their track record, or just, you know, you've connected with them in the past. You know, they're going to come ask you to be a GP, you know, help raise money, do the due diligence, and, you know, whatever other roles that you'll have, you know, besides, you know, just raising capital. But yeah, I mean, it's key, you know, that's definitely key. And I definitely see you very active, you know, on social media, which is awesome. I really enjoy that because, you know, you're interacting, and usually the folks that do that a little bit more are the ones that get the, you know, you kind of like the squeaky wheel, right? You're going to get that oil.
Yeah.
And people can be reaching out to you. Hey, I got this project, you know, can we work on it? What do you think? And you can pass or say, hey, it looks good, right? But just that flow is definitely gonna help you. So let me ask you this question. So what do you think has been the something that's been a little bit easier than you thought it was going to be? And how about something that's been a little bit harder than you thought it was going to be?
The easiest thing so far that I've experienced is raising money. It is incredible how easy it can be to raise money when you know your stuff, when you know the deal that you're talking about, when you feel confident about the deal. Investors can pick up on your confidence. And if they like you and they know you and they trust you and you're confident about anything and you would be willing to lose money yourself on this deal, right? Invest money yourself and be willing, you know, the possibility of losing it. You know, it's hard for me to raise money for a deal that I wouldn't put my own money into, is what I'm trying to say. And other people can pick up on that. And I do a lot of reading again. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people talk about is when somebody is needy, it can be felt. It's a presence that can be felt. And when neediness is involved, then people shy away and they say, well, what's wrong with this situation if he needs something, right? And even if you do need this person to invest this money, you have to be like, okay, you have to have that abundance mindset and be like, well, look, if you're not going to invest this money, that's okay. I'll have another deal for you. But if you're not going to, then I'm going to go give this opportunity to somebody else. And when you do that, it builds that confidence. And when you have those, again, it comes back to your network. When you have a big enough network that you can rely on and know that you can raise the money that you need for any deal, then the confidence is natural. And when it's not natural, I think people can also pick up on that as well.
For sure. What about the hardest thing? What do you think has been a little bit harder? Maybe you didn't think it'd be as hard, but maybe it's a little harder, more challenging.
The hardest thing is, you know, talking with off-market sellers, like direct to seller, is easy. And getting to know people is easy. But getting people to understand what their property is actually worth rather than their emotional attachment to a property is very difficult. You know, it's one of the things when I was getting out of single family and residential was, oh, commercial is valued off the net operating income and the cap rate. Boom, done. Everybody will accept that. That's not true, right? I thought that was true. I was like, oh, well, you know, if it's doing 100,000, I know what this property is worth. But that's not true because people still get emotional attachment to properties and they want to sell it for the highest price.
Yeah, or they want to sell it at, you know, at a super low cap rate, like performer cap rate. And I tell them, this is what I say. Hey, look, it's really hard for me to pay you now for the work that I have to do to make it be worth that amount of money that you think it'll be worth in 5 years. You know,
right.
I got to do all the work and I'm paying you for it. It's like,
right.
It doesn't make sense.
It's a hard conversation. Yeah. I mean, and you really have to, you know, I talk about it all the time in my Facebook group, but you have to exercise that muscle, right? You're not going to get it on the first try. And if you do, I applaud you, right? Congratulations. Like, I'd love to see you succeed. But for most people, I'm confident in saying that it's a muscle that you need to exercise in order to execute properly. It is a talent and it's acquired talent over time and experience.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate that, Tim. You know, kind of one of the easiest and one of the hardest things to do. And thank you for that. Now, one last question before we go into our Naked Truth Roulette, where I just ask you four random questions. And I didn't do with real estate, which is my favorite part of the show. But give me one mistake that you've made that you said, man, you know, this is a big mistake that I've, or something maybe you would have done different, right, in real estate.
Something I would have done different in real estate. You know, I think that everybody always talks about, in order to get into real estate, you need to find a deal. Find a deal and the money will follow. Well, that's true. But I was not thinking big enough. And I didn't realize that you don't have to be the person that finds the deal. You can connect the people with money. You could be the guy that places people's money into somebody else's deal. And I think there's a lot of opportunity on the table that people don't realize. You don't need to be the one to find the deal. And it's a limiting belief that you can't raise money because you don't already have experience. You don't have deals of your own. No, what you do, and because I don't have any property yet, but I'm raising money for this 80 unit property like it's cool. And what I'm doing is I'm being upfront. I'm telling them my experience, my confidence in the deal, but I'm leveraging the partners, the sponsorship team's experience on the deal in order to say, hey, I don't have the experience to operate this deal, but these guys do. And they understand how this stuff works. And I'm learning from them. But they also, in order to get this deal done, they need to be connected with people like me because I have a network of people like you who want to place money into deals to make money. Right. So again, it comes back to everybody has to work together in order to accomplish the common goal, which is to close a deal. And you don't have to have all of the money. You don't have to have all the experience. You don't have to have the deal in order to be part of a deal. Just bring what you can to the table.
Yeah, that's super cool. So that's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm really looking forward to see how this 80 unit turns out and everything else that you have. I know you have. You made some other offers and just get the ball rolling. So I'm super excited to see your transition. And this is the first time you're on the show. And next time I have you in the show, I want you to have a few hundred units. So
oh yeah, it's going to happen. That's for sure.
If not a thousand, for sure. Awesome. All right. This brings me to the next part of the show, which is the Naked Truth Roulette. All right.
Yep. I'm
asking four random questions. All right. And it's got nothing to do with real estate. Just let's get a chance to meet who Tim is. Let's see who he is. Ready? Let's roll.
I'm a little nervous.
I'm not going to give you a pass either. Am I giving you a pass? Let's see. First question. Hey, do you have any tattoos?
I do.
All right. That was it. I do. Didn't say anywhere where it was or nothing like that, but he does. Okay. Awesome. All right. He's 31. He's got tattoos. I'm 42 and I keep forgetting to get tattoos. I get excited about one and then I just squirrel.
Yeah.
You know, I get a squirrel kind of like idea and I go somewhere else. All right. Number two. All right. What is your favorite quote?
Ooh, man. Oh, my. You know, I have to say the one that I say the most, I wouldn't even say it's my most favorite quote, but it is the one that I find myself using the most. And it's the Chinese proverb of, you know, the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago. The second best time is now. You know, I absolutely love that because, you know, people talk about how, you know, they wish they had done this or it must have been easier for them back then and et cetera and so forth. Right. But like, yeah, but think about it from their perspective when they were in it as well. They probably had the same mindset that, oh, it was easier 10 years ago. You know, so no matter what you want to do, there was always a better time to start it. But if you never start it, then you're never going to accomplish what you want to. So even if it's not the ideal time, make moves towards what you want to actually be doing now, rather than harp on the fact that you didn't start it 10 years ago, because your mindset was not there where it needed to be 10 years ago. So take the opportunity given now and do something with it.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. Right. I mean, don't just get it done. Even if you feel like you should have done it 10 years ago. That's awesome. All right. Question number three. All right. How do you feel about putting pineapple on a pizza?
I do come from New England and the land of pizza, New Haven, Connecticut, is only about a 10-minute drive from me. So I would have to respectfully decline pineapple on pizza.
All right. All right. Nothing wrong with that. It's about 50-50 so far. Everybody's about 50-50 on that. All right. Last question.
No, I'm not saying it didn't have its place, but it's just not my preference. If I had a choice, I would choose for the, you know, traditional.
Awesome. Let's see what we got here. It's a good one right here. If you could pick any celebrity to take on a date, who would it be?
Jennifer Aniston. Oh, how do you gosh. Like, you don't even have to think about that one.
Wow. That was fast. I think you're the quickest one to answer that. I didn't even finish the question. You had answered that. So
yeah. I mean, you know, Jennifer Aniston, she doesn't look like she keeps getting any older. That's for sure.
Well, Tim, you survived the Naked Truth Roulette. I appreciate your time, Tim. How can somebody get a hold of you? I know you have a Facebook group, so go ahead and mention that, and then any other way.
So you can find me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's Tim Vitale. Look me up. I'm sure. Actually, Javier, I don't know if we're friends on LinkedIn, but you know, if you show us a mutual friend, you got the right Tim. You know, on Facebook, I have a Facebook group that I just started this week called Making Moves in Multifamily. So that's a good way to connect with me. I post all of the articles that I review and I write on. You know, I've committed to doing Facebook Lives once a week in order to kind of talk about what I'm doing to make moves in real estate, or kind of show through my perspective, you know, what it looks like to be doing real estate. You know, I know that I'm new in my multifamily career, and I think that there's opportunity there to educate and show people what it looks like from a beginner's point of view, even if you were there, you know, 2 years ago, right? I mean, times have changed. Like, my new now is different from your new 2 years ago. So, you know, being able to have a platform where I can help other people and provide value to them is really important to me. You know, I'm super active in your Facebook group, the billion-dollar long name one. Super active in Jennings and Yaden's group, My First Million in Multifamily. You know, I love connecting on there. And then my Instagram is TimVitale_REI. So connect with me on there. I don't use that as much because it's hard to interact with people on a bigger scale like Facebook has been. But, you know, super active on all of those different social media sites. Or you can visit my website is upsidecapitalgroup.com. Schedule a call, you know, a Zoom call, phone call, whatever you want to do. Happy to talk through what your problems are and, you know, what you're looking to have a better understanding of. And for me to figure out, you know, what can I do to help you? Because, you know, I'm not going to get where I want to be without people that are doing better than me helping me out. So it's my duty to make sure that I'm helping somebody get to where I am and my current career, you know, throw down the rope, you know, as they say, to lift people up and just, you know, we're all in this together. So, you know, I just want to kind of help other people in the same respect that people have helped me in my career and just pay it forward.
Yeah, that's awesome, Tim. I'll make sure that all those links are in the show notes below. Again, I appreciate your time. We talked about, you know, you being a busy professional, how you balance, you know, the time, you know, between family and work and your real estate career. You got your first ADGP, a general partner deal you're working on right now, which is awesome. You also talked about, hey, you just got to have that grit, right? You got to be able to want it. You got to want it more than, you know, maybe some fun things that you may want to do. Super cool. Stay active on social media, kind of be relevant, be around, connect, network, you know, go to the live events, you know, that's what you also mentioned. And I definitely second that for sure. You got a Facebook group, Making Moves in Multifamily. I'm a part of that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that grow. And you're out of Charlotte, North Carolina. So you're kind of my neighbor, about 2.5 hours away. And I appreciate you being on the show. And anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. This is only the second podcast that I've done, but I'd like to be on more of them. You know, and I'm really looking forward to your event of finding off-market deals. I'm super stoked. I'm a big car guy myself, and I can't wait to go to your venue of your office/venue, whatever you call it.
That's my office.
But yeah, that's going to be awesome. You know, and you know, I just want to make sure that people out there are taking action on these type of opportunities. Javier knows, like, he put up the link and I paid like within 20 minutes. I was like, I'm in, like, this is something I'm doing.
Yep.
You know, so make sure you take action and opportunities, and Javier's group is going to be a great opportunity to do so. And I hope that your listeners take advantage of that opportunity, because I'd love to meet them there as well.
Oh, awesome, man. I appreciate the plug. So yeah, it's how to find off-market commercial properties. And we're having it in Raleigh at a Exotic Car Club, which is my office. That's where I have my office.
Yeah.
And actually that day on Saturday, they have a cars and coffee in the outside for like the first couple hours. So it'll be kind of cool. When we break out for lunch out of the conference room, we can all hang out and while we have lunch, go look at some super cars, cool cars that, you know, other members are bringing in, not just the ones that are at the club. So it'll be pretty interesting. But again, Tim, I appreciate your time. I know you got to get back. You're on your lunch break.
Yeah.
And I am your host, Javier Hinojo. Don't lose your shirt.
Time consuming. It can be very scary. It could be like trying to get somewhere without a roadmap. So that's why I created this due diligence list when I buy a property. want to buy an apartment building or even a mobile home park, you can use it for mostly pretty much any commercial property. But this one specifically is for a multifamily. It could be a 6-unit. It could be a 600 unit. You can use it for what you like. So go ahead and sign up, put your name, email. I'll send you the free link to my due diligence. This is what I've used to buy hundreds and hundreds of units, if not thousands of units. So sign up, you get my link. You get an Excel sheet as well. And also we use the software, project management software, monday.com. Feel free to sign up for a free trial. I do have an affiliate link. You don't pay any extra. They just pay me a small fee. Don't have to use it. You have the Excel spreadsheet, but if you use monday.com, it's actually a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot prettier, and you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. There's even a video there I created in the link. So check the link, sign up, and this is my giveaway for you guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.